Shalom, and welcome to Via Havta Yisrael, a Hebrew phrase which means, you shall love Israel. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes as our teacher, Dr. Baruch, shares his expository teaching from the Bible. Dr. Baruch is the senior lecturer at the Zera Avraham Institute based in Israel. Although all courses are taught in Hebrew at the Institute, Dr. Baruch is pleased to share this weekly address in English. To find out more about our work in Israel, please visit us on the web at loveisrael.org. That's one word, loveisrael.org. Now, here's Baruch with today's lesson.
Our God is a great provider. And we are going to see in the passage that we're going to study this evening a very important truth about God's provision. In fact, we might say a primary symbol of God's provision in the Bible. So it's a biblical symbol that whenever this word appears in the scripture, it reminds us that God and God alone provides for his people. And what does he provide? All things. All things that are needed for us to experience victory. And when I speak about victory, I'm speaking about a kingdom victory. A victory that comes through redemption. A victory that comes through the judgment of God against the enemies of his people. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to the book of Amos in chapter 2. In our last session, we concluded the first chapter, and now we're ready for the first part of chapter 2. Now, we're going to see three things in this second chapter. We're going to see that it begins with another message of judgment against Moab. Moab is another of those nations that surround Israel that God is displeased with. And remember the nature of God. God wants to bless. God wants to redeem. Who does he want to redeem? All of humanity. And we find, biblically speaking, that the work of Messiah on that cross, that work of redemption that he did on the day of redemption, that is on Passover, is sufficient. It was enough not just to redeem a portion of humanity, but as that verse tells us, for God so loved the world. And that redemption, which Messiah purchased for us, is sufficient for all the world. Remember what John says in 1 John in chapter 2, that Messiah is the redemption of our sins, but not just for our sins, but the sins of the world. So in the Bible, we see that God's work of redemption is all sufficient. But in order to benefit from it, we must exercise faith. We must accept the provision that God's made for us in order to have that victory. Well, take out your Bible and look with me to chapter 2 of this book of Amos. Now, I made mention that we're going to see that God is going to judge, as we have already seen many other nations. He is going to judge Moab. And then only after completing this list in this first chapter, in the beginning of chapter 2, of these neighboring nations, then God is going to deal with Judah and then with Israel, his covenant people. And God is displeased with humanity. And we're going to see why he is displeased with humanity. So look with me to verse 1 of chapter 2 of this book of Amos, where it says, thus said the Lord concerning three transgressions of Moab and concerning four. And God says, as he has in all these other prophecies against these other nations, he says, I will not relent, meaning I'm not going to turn back this prophetic statement of judgment upon Moab. Now, why is he displeased with Moab? Well, we see here concerning, he burned the bones of the king of Edom to lime. Now, the word lime is the word seed, which relates to a kind of whitewash. So he used the bones of the king of Edom, and God is not pleased with Edom. We talked about that previously at the end of chapter 2 or chapter 1. And what I want you to see is God's displeasure never means that we should do something. What does the scripture say? That this one burnt the bones of the king of Edom unto lime, meaning unto this type of whitewash, this paint that was used. And the point here is that Moab took it upon themselves to act against Edom, not in obedience to God, not out of some call of righteousness, but simply because they were angry with Edom. And what does this speak of? Well, burning the bones rather than burying them is an act of shame. And what Moab wanted to do was to bring contempt upon their enemy. And let me just simply say, this is not the character that God's people should have. Now, we, under the Lord's leadership, we see in Israel's past that God led them into battle. He brought them into war, but it was the Lord's war. And we know that God himself, it says in the book of Exodus, that the Lord, he is a man of war. So it's not that war is always wrong. There are righteous times when war is the proper action to take. But the objective of Moab here was not just to fight the battles of God. Far from that. They wanted to shame their enemies. And that is not a proper mindset. And then we go on to verse 2 where it says, God is speaking as a consequence to this desire to shame the king of Edom. God says, I will send fire against Moab and the palaces of, and we have the word Keriot. Now, that is a Hebrew word, which means city, but it's in the plural, so the cities. And if you look here, they're going to devour. This fire that God is sending is going to devour the palaces of the cities. And most would conclude these are the major cities of Moab. And we find that what will be the outcome of this judgment? Fire is frequently a symbol of judgment. Well, notice it speaks about death. And death with the uproar of Moab. So there was this uproar. Now, this word, sha'on, for uproar, speaks about a large noise. And we're going to see, without any doubt, what that large noise is. And we're going to see something that's also equally important. Look at the end of verse 2 where it says, there's going to be this loud noise, some would say a tumult, there in Moab. And then it says, Bitrua. Now, when we sound the shofar, in a moment, we're going to see that shofar is going to be mentioned. I'll mention what that is in a moment. But the word Terua is one of the notes for sounding the shofar. So what this is speaking about is the shofar is going to sound. Now, remember how I began this study. I made mention that our God is a God of provision. He is a wonderful provider. And I mentioned that there is a biblical symbol that every time it's mentioned in the scripture, what should come into our mind when we come across that is God's provision. And what we see here is something very clear. The shofar is reminding us of God's judgment. He provides judgment against those who are disobedient, those who are not operating, behaving, acting in the character of God. And what we're seeing here is that he's against the nations that behave in this way, whether they are Edom or Moab or in Lebanon, wherever they might be. God is not pleased with such behavior. He has not called humanity to such behavior. And therefore, he is going to provide, and here's the key, judgment. Now, what's happening here is when we begin this prophecy of Amos, we see that there's that oracle that God gives of judgment. And not just judgment, but destruction. And we're going to see that it's always intense against the enemies of God. So we see this in this passage where it speaks about the uproar, this large noise that took place in Moab with the sounding or the shout of the sound of the shofar or the voice of the shofar. And what does this symbolize, this sounding of the shofar, the shout? Well, look at verse 3. He says, and I will cut off. Now, this is an expression of judgment. I will cut off the judge from her midst. Now, why that word judge? Well, who are we talking about? Earlier on, we talked about the king of Moab. And what we see here is simply this. It is the king that gives the decisions, that sets things in order for the nation. That's true for Moab in our case and any other nation as well that has a king. So God is holding the leader, the judge, the decider accountable. And he says, I will cut off the judge from her midst. Why from her midst? Oftentimes a nation is spoken of in the feminine, so it's her midst. And all her, and we have the word sarim, all of her high officials, I will kill with him, with who? With the king of Moab. And then it said the Lord. Again, in the past tense to show this prophecy, although it's yet to take place in the days of Amos, we, by the past tense, can be assured it's going to happen. So when we look at this, we're talking about events, not in our current day, not in the future, but something that has already happened in the past, that God has brought it about. Now, when you get to verse 4, there's a change. Now God is going to speak against his people. We're going to begin with Judah, the southern kingdom. And why is Judah mentioned first? Excuse me. Because within Judah, there is that capital city, Jerusalem. And therefore, Judah is going to take precedent because Israel, that northern kingdom, remember, at this time, there is that divided monarchy. Not unified are the people of God with one capital, but there's two nations. This divided kingdom between Judah in the south and Israel in the north. And Judah's taking precedent because of Judah containing the holy city of Jerusalem, because that is where the temple of the Lord dwells. Look at verse 4. Thus said the Lord concerning the three transgressions of Judah and concerning four. And he says the same thing. I will not relent, meaning I will not turn back. Why? Concerning, and this is what we read, concerning that they, and there's a very important word, ma'asam. We see that it's speaking about their loathing. Now, this word, ma'as, doesn't mean just to set aside, disregard. It means to have a very strong contempt, a loathing, someone who rejects and rejects it in a strong fashion. And what were they rejecting? Well, we don't have to guess. It tells us in the scripture, because of their loathing of the law of the Lord and his statutes. So what was the problem with Judah? They did not love the law of God. They were not interested in his instructions, his commandments, what God ordered the people to do. In fact, it just wasn't that they weren't interested, but that word here, ma'asam, speaks of them loathing in the strongest way. They hated these commandments, the law of the Lord and his statutes. And they did not keep, meaning they did not observe. They would not practice them. And what happened? It says here, and they led them astray. Now, most would understand the fact that this verb for being led astray is in the third person plural, they. And the subject, more often than not, would be those nations around. What was Judah's sin? What was the core of her problem? And that is that she assimilated. She became like the nations around her, and specifically in idolatry. They rejected the law of God, and they did so willfully. They did so with knowledge. Why? They loathed the law of God. And therefore, it says here, they did not keep, and they were led astray. Literally, they were led astray with their lies. What lies? These false religions, this idolatry. And we see today that still plague the people of God, this falsehood. For example, a great falsehood is the prosperity gospel. And something that I would say related to that is a misunderstanding of Messiah's message to the church. What did he say? If anyone would want to follow me, and I hope we do. What did he say to such people who wanted to follow Messiah? He says, take up your cross and follow me. That is a call to suffer. In fact, it can always be understood as a call to die for one's faith. And what we see is this. As we move closer and closer to the end times, there is going to be more persecution, more death of believers, let me say it differently, more martyrdom for our faith. That is happening today, and it's going to expand as we move further into these last 7 years. So he says here in our text, where we read, they loathe, their loathing of the law of the Lord and his statutes, they did not keep, and they were led astray with their lies, which their forefathers walked after them. Now, that gives us some insight. When it talks about the forefathers walking after them, well, we're talking about idolatry. We're talking about how the nations influenced Israel rather than Israel influencing the nations. And that's the problem. That is that great sin. That is why God is displeased with his people. And what's going to happen? Look at the next verse, verse 5. Notice that God's not a respecter of person. The measure that he uses with everyone. The same thing that he said to all of these other nations, he says to Judah, where he says, and I will send fire against Judah and the palaces of Jerusalem will be devoured. That fire is going to devour the palaces of Jerusalem. Now, most will say this. It has to do with the wealthy people, those who lived in estates, in mansions. Now, why is that? Let me pause for a moment and go off on a tangent. As we are recording this, we see something. We still see, even though there is a ceasefire in effect with Lebanon, specifically in regard to Hezbollah, we also see Israel is being attacked almost daily from Yemen, what we call in Hebrew, Tamar. And the reason why these attacks and these violations of the ceasefire happen is, to me, very simple. We don't learn from God. What did God do to bring a change? He sent fire. Remember, fire relates to judgment. He didn't devour the poor places of Jerusalem. Doesn't say that fire was sent on Bethany or Bethany, this place of the poorest of the poor, where the afflicted ones live. He didn't send fire there. But rather it says, to the palaces. These are those locations, those residences where the wealthy live. And I've said, as we were experiencing this war that began on October 7th of 2023, what should we be doing? Well, we should be attacking the wealthiest places in Gaza. And there's great wealth in Gaza. Don't be misled by the media. And the same thing, the wealthy neighborhoods in Beirut, and also the wealthy neighborhoods in Yemen. Wherever the government leaders dwell, those who are corrupt and their corruption brings them profit, attack that. Until we do that, it's not going to bring about a change. God knows, God does, and there is a change. So we need to learn from prophetic truth on how to fight wars. And unfortunately today, under the deceit of the Antichrist, most nations practice warfare that will not produce victory. What does it do? Well, because they're following the deceit of the Antichrist, and who gives the Antichrist his authority? Satan. And what does Satan like? He loves suffering, pain, misery. That's what he's addicted to. And we see today that when we fight as the world tells us how to wage war, what does that do? It simply drags on the war. And we see that instead of a quick victory, it's dragged out. And in the end, more people suffer. More people are in misery longer. There's greater loss of life. Why? It's all to glorify the prince of this world. So those who belong to faith need to understand the enemy's deceit and not subscribe to it, but reject it and fight war properly, which is to bring about the defeat of the enemy one death at a time. That's how you fight war. So it says here, God is speaking, I will send fire against Judah, and the palaces of Jerusalem will be devoured. That fire is a source of it, which is symbolic towards God's judgment. Look at verse 6. Thus said the Lord concerning the three transgressions of Israel and concerning four. Again, I will not turn back concerning the fact that they did something. They're selling with money the righteous one and the destitute for a pair of sandals. So we see the corruption. There's no fear of God. We'll talk about that in a moment more. There's no fear of God. There's no sensitivity to the instructions of God. They loathe the instructions of God. And what did they do? They sell for silver a righteous one. And a poor one, and this word here, evyon, means one that's in a very destitute situation. They sell him for a pair of sandals. Now, look at verse 7. Now, when we look at verse 7, we see this word, and I'm familiar with this word. It's very commonly used in modern Hebrew. It's a word of aspiration. Now, if you do a good study, it's a word for breathing. But what we find here is that air you need. We desire. If you hold your breath and you don't get air, you really want that air. You are passionate about it. You aspire to breathe. when oxygen is cut off. And so this is word for to aspire to something, to have a strong desire. And it says here that they are desiring concerning the dust of the earth. Now, what is that speaking of? What's the message for us? Well, what am I? I was made from the dust of the earth. Go back to Genesis and chapter 2, that God formed man from the ground, from the dirt. And this is the word that appears here as well. So they aspire concerning the dirt of the earth, which is the head of the poor, meaning this. They're willing to cut off the head, to wound the head of the poor, meaning they have such aspirations to rule over man. This is the problem with those that are wicked, those who reject the law of God, the commandments of God, the will of God. They don't love humanity. And what we see so frequently are those who are supposed to be lovers of humanity. What happens? They are deceived by the enemy. And these people want to rule over humanity. And they go after the head of the poor ones. And notice something else. And the way of the humble ones, what do? They pervert, they twist. So those who are living, behaving, walking in the way of humility, they pervert. And notice it says, and this is an example, a man and his father, they will go into Hanara, that is a young woman. So we see how perverted that is, that the son and his father have relations with the same young woman. And the word here is indeed Hanara, ha meaning the, and the implication is the same young woman. Why do they do that? Now, remember, I told you about them loathing the law of God. And here's the example from the biblical text to tell us they really hate God. They loathe the way of God. And they do this, obviously. This is perversion. This is wickedness in the most base way. And why do they do it? Well, there's a very important word, le ma'an. What's that? On account of. This shows purpose. This shows intent. On account that the name of the Lord, that is the holy name, and we're speaking about the name of God, the holy name is profane. That's what they want to do. They cannot stand the character of God. And that shouldn't surprise us, because the commandments of God manifest his character. What does that mean? Let's make it very practical. When a person submits to the commandments of God, the commandments of Moses, same thing. Moses received his commandments from God. They were inscribed initially with the finger of God. So we need to understand, it was God's laws, his commandments. He gave them to Moses. And do not make a serious mistake in trying to separate the commandments of Messiah from the commandments of Moses. Read the Sermon on the Mount and you'll find out how wrong it is to do such a thing. So what did they want to do? They wanted to profane my holy name. That's literally what it says. To profane my holy name. Who's speaking? God. Let's do one last verse. And we're going to see the character of the people. What is the outcome when you reject the law of God? Notice what it says. And concerning a garment, concerning garments, and the word here, chavulim. Most scholars see this as a garment given in pledge, meaning this. I'm in a difficult circumstance financially. So I give a garment in order to get some type of loan. And I give that garment as a pledge, as a symbol, a token of my sincerity. Now read the Torah. What should you do? You should give back that garment at night. Because if he's really poor, that's the only thing that he has to keep him warm. So he can give it back to you in the day, but at nighttime, show mercy. Show some care and grace and concern for this one who is in such a difficult position. But here, what does it say? It says, and concerning the garments that were given in token, what do? They cast before every altar. Now, the altar that we're talking about here is pagan altars. So they receive that and they utilize that for their own worship. They worship at the expense of other people. That's not what our faith is about. We don't want to exploit people and then worship God that we were able to do so. That is sinful. That is certainly against the character of God. God's gracious and he wants us to be gracious. God's merciful and he wants us to show mercy. God's forgiving and we need to be forgiving people. But they do what? They cast these garments given in pledge before every altar. And the wine, what type of wine? Well, the wine that is purchased from the vines. Now we have a word here, anushim. Anushim, the word onish, is a punishment. Now, this is speaking about a fine that was paid. And what did they do when they received that fine, the money from this fine? They went out and they bought wine and they drank it in the house of their gods. Now, this just shows how far away from the holiness of God the people are. What people? All people. We see that list of Gentile nations that surround Jerusalem and Judah and Israel. And we see that not only those nations that surround Israel, but also Judah, that southern kingdom, and Israel, that northern kingdom, they have behaved and have had the same mentality, this desire to profane God, this desire to loathe the instructions of God. They've had this desire, and they're not influencing the nations around them, but they are becoming like them, and therefore God, and here will be our concluding statement, therefore God is going to treat them just like those who have no covenantal relationship with them. Because God is not a respecter of persons. He does not have favorites. He punishes according to his standards. And his standards are the same standards for all people. If we miss out on that, we have a incorrect understanding of the character of God, the ways of God, and God's expectations. Let's have right expectations. And we find the expectations that God has for humanity in the law of God. I'll close with that. Until next time, Shalom from Israel.
Well, we hope you will benefit from today's message and share it with others. Please plan to join us each week at this time and on this channel for our broadcast of loveisrael.org. Again, to find out more about us, please visit our website, loveisrael.org. There you will find articles and numerous other lectures by Baruch. These teachings are in video form. You may download them or watch them in streaming video. Until next week, may the Lord bless you in our Messiah Yeshua, that is, Jesus, as you walk with him. Shalom from Israel.